Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. This is show number 158. It's a very, very, very special event tonight because happy birthday to the lovely Mary Carney, my wife. 43 years. I love you, baby. And she doesn't listen to the show anyway, so that's a plug for my wife. She's the greatest. Today's her birthday. Okay. Now, we're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. We are freezing our butts off here tonight in Chicago. I think it's like 3 outside. And we have an old friend on the show, an old buddy, just retired, former Chicago Police Detective, Chicago Police Department Detective Bill Donnelly. Bill grew up in St. John Fisher, went to Marist, Lewis University. He has a master's in criminal justice. I didn't know that. That's pretty wild. He was a Burbank cop for 4 years, and then he went on to do another 28 years in the Chicago Police Department. Just retired last week. Bill, welcome back to the show. This might be your third visit?
Second one on an interview.
Oh, okay.
I've been to your show many times.
Well, it's great to have you, and your wife Beth is here tonight, and we want to give a shout-out to your sons, Gavin and Quinn.
Oh, thank you.
So let's go backwards a little bit. So you retired, what, just about a week ago?
2 weeks ago today.
Oh, well, no kidding. Yeah. And there was supposed to be a party at the Father Perez, I remember. But
yeah, I thought I was getting together with a few friends, and apparently word got out a little bit on that one, and I think I disappointed a lot of people.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I tested positive, and we decided lay low.
That was smart. Yep. Yeah. They'd be pissed if you showed up and they all got sick, I can tell you that.
Right.
Well, that's a long time, 32 years altogether. That's
an amazing career. It will be this year in October. Yeah.
And you're still a young man. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I turned 56 last month.
Well, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeez, I'm 73, pal. Okay. 56 was a long time ago for me. So you got a lot to do from here on in. Got any big plans?
There's a few possibilities, but nothing concrete at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. At home, I'm just knocking out the house projects that you never get to, you know. Mm-hmm. Got
good
the time to do them now.
Well, you were, first of all, worked a beat car for 5 years in 09. Where's the 9th district?
9's at 35th and Low.
Oh, the old, mayor's.
The original, yes.
Yeah, Bridgeport.
You got it.
Then you did plain clothes with a tag team for 12 years in 9, right?
Yes.
Were you always in 9?
I left for I had a short stint in gang intelligence for a little while, but eventually made detective shortly thereafter.
Uh-huh.
And so the last 15 years I'm...
15 years as a detective.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you want to tell me? We're in the confessional.
Oh, now I am nervous.
Now, you know what is interesting? Well, one of the reasons we do the show, and you know what this is all about, is we like to honor our first responders, our law enforcement professionals, and our firefighters, and our nurses, because we feel they are the modern-day equivalent of our ancient Irish mythological warriors. And it's been very interesting, amazing, and enlightening to meet all these characters, ladies and men, over the last 3 years, especially since when we started doing this, 2020, the city was up for grabs completely, and they were burning it down, and there were people talking about defunding the police, and I thought that was nuts. And we're still in that situation.
Yes.
Regrettably. What's your take on all that?
It's just a complete insanity, but I got to tell you, when you mentioned the times that we're going through and law enforcement, we really do appreciate what you're doing for us.
Oh,
that doesn't
you.
Go unnoticed. You know, I tell people about your show all the time, and it gives us a voice. And
it's great. I made some lifelong friends, too. It's
terrific. I tell you, it's been we really appreciate it. I've enjoyed, I got Larkin over here, one of your former interviewees.
Brian Larkin?
Yes, sir. Captain on CFD. And
he won the Stoker, the thing at our Hibernian Hooligan Ball a couple years ago. Yeah.
That might have been Matt, actually. I think won the Stoker, was it?
Was it? Brian?
Yeah, it was Matt.
Oh, it was Matt. Okay.
Matt.
His brother
kind
Matt.
Of sure.
Okay. All right.
But I enjoy the fire stories, too, you know. It's not rare that I get to hear those.
They're terrific.
Yes.
And then we're trying to get more nurses as well.
Because great
idea. The nurses are great too, and a little easier on the
eyes.
Those
ER stories would be.
Oh yeah.
You'd fill up a show right there.
Do you know Pumpkin McMahon?
She's
on the show
name,
in a couple.
Michael.
She's on the show in 3 weeks. She's a female cop.
Okay.
She just retired. But you know, it's not that easy finding guests. So let me give a shout out. If you have a friend who is a cop, a firefighter, or a nurse, and we'd love to have them on the show. They got to be Irish, hopefully.
I think we can find you some nurses.
And we actually, for those who aren't Irish, we make them honorary Irish. We've had John Kent and Zara on the show several times, mm-hmm. made him an honorary Irishman. So we need, but it's not easy going out and finding guests all the time. So if anybody wants to make a suggestion, I'm at mikehoolihan7@gmail.com. Get in touch. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm here to tell you that it's painless. So
it is.
I think these stories need to be told.
You get to have a couple of beers and some Fox's pizza. How bad could it be?
It's all good.
Yeah. Okay, now you got a lot of notes. What do you want to talk to me about? The stage is yours,
my friend.
I
made a few of them. No, you were asking about the job.
You know, I know your dad was a legendary homicide detective, right?
Yes.
He kind of inspired you to become a cop, right?
I didn't think so because I went down to the Board of Trade and the Murtaugh Exchange and all these, you know, would be a millionaire getting on the Rock Island train. And
we all did. Yeah.
I found myself opening up the Chicagoland section every day to see who got indicted as opposed to the financials.
Yeah.
And it finally
yeah.
dawned on me, I better start taking tests.
Yeah.
I think everyone knew that I was going to be the police but me, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I used to walk over down the floor there at the Mercantile was the last place I worked.
CME, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a fellow down there who, he was a bouncer in one of the Rush Street nightclubs, and I think he might have had his hand in a few things that might have been exactly above board.
Yes.
And every time I'd walk up, he'd be talking to the runners and stuff, and he shh, shh, here comes Donnelly, the cop. Shut up.
Oh,
shut
yeah.
up. And I'm like, why? What? Again, I think people knew before I did.
Before you did, yeah. Yeah.
So.
We won't mention his name.
No, no.
Yeah. And there were plenty of guys like that down there, believe me. Mm. You know. Now, did you have brothers and sisters?
I'm the oldest of three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got one of each.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And what's your brother doing?
My brother's down in Florida with his family.
Smart move.
Yes, they just went down there recently, and my sister Eileen works for the Board of Ed.
My sister Eileen? Yeah. Isn't that the name of a movie? Yeah. What's she do?
It ought to be.
Yeah.
She's a speech path. That's how I met my wife, my lovely wife, Beth over there.
Yeah.
They're Marquette grads.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. My sons went to Marquette for a couple of cups of coffee. But they had a lot of fun, you know, Milwaukee. Too much fun, that's the problem. All right, I didn't mean it. So there you were, a young guy. How old were you when you went on the force? Or you went on Burbank first, right?
Burbank first, right, 25.
Okay.
It was a good experience, you know, being boarded right up to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I always say everything short of treason, and I never had a homicide. It was a pretty peaceful place to live then. It had some violence later on after I left, but still a nice
Are you talking
town.
About nine? Oh, Burbank.
Burbank,
oh,
Burbank yeah.
yeah. yeah.
It, believe it or not, I got my feet wet there and handled a lot of different things. So when I did get into Chicago, it wasn't brand new to me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Police work, yeah. Yeah.
My first full day on the job was I was taken on the street by Michael Flisk, the evidence technician.
Yeah, the
you
late
remember
Michael
that?
Flisk.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Good guy.
His daughter was the queen of the parade or something like that, as I recall. Is it Beth Flisk? Right.
His
Peg.
Daughter, Meg, yeah, she just got Peg. Married, actually.
Oh, did she? God
yeah,
bless her.
State's attorney. Yeah.
yeah. Is she? Yeah. yeah. Well, what, you were taking evidence. He was working with you?
Mike asked to take me out for the day.
Oh.
Showed me around, and it was very different than I was used to in Burbank, because I remember we saw these guys walking down the street. Mike starts to pull over. And these fellas, without any verbal direction whatsoever, they walk over, five or six gangbangers, and they put their hands on the trunk, palms down.
Yeah.
Legs spread.
They knew the routine.
We go through them. They got nothing. Have a nice day. No harm, no foul. And we drove away. I said, Mike, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, what's up? I go, do you know those guys? Never seen them in my life. He goes, how did they know what to do? He said, I guess our forefathers must have trained. I said, man,
yeah.
I am not in Kansas anymore.
That
you
makes
I mean?
It easier, though.
That wasn't going on in my stops in Burbank back then. You know, someone would look at you crazy back in the day. They'd be like, you want me to what? You know, but... So I realized that this was going to be a different road, you know?
Especially Chicago, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. All right, keep going.
Well, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I really did. Work at 9, it was kind of like the United Nations of the city.
Yeah, that's Bridgeport.
Yeah, Bridgeport.
Sox, White Sox. Yeah.
Of course, we worked south of there, bordered Inglewood.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so yeah. We were busy there.
Yeah.
Sherman Park area. You had, you mentioned Bridgeport. There'd be Hispanic in areas, white areas there, and
Brighton
going through
Park.
Canaryville and then out south. And then we go west, all the way west of Kedzie and places. And so some of these gangs, they were very, very active, you know. So there was always something to do.
Yeah.
Working on anything from burglaries to robberies, you know. And we'd meet a colorful cast of characters, you know. We get a lot of these crazy nicknames. Hooley's a good one, but some of these names these guys had, like Dirty Red.
Dirty Red?
Oh, I love that one. Dirty Red Palmer, one of our burglars. Another gangbanger's name was Lazy. Of course, he's not going to amount to anything, right? I mean, we had Chocolate.
Chocolate?
Some of these guys.
There's plenty of them.
You had to fight, right? I mean, my name's Chocolate. I mean, Tweety. These aren't exactly badass names, you know. Back in the day, right? World War II, Lefty or something like that, right? One Eye or something. I was looking through some of my paperwork today from back when I was my night district days, and one guy's name was Barney. I mean, how are you ever going to have a tough reputation when you're
Barney
named
the
after,
gangbanger?
You know, you're dressed up as a purple dinosaur or something. The kids love
Oh, that Barney.
I mean, these guys were determined to be in trouble. I don't know if they ever had a chance. All these wrongful convictions.
Well,
maybe
usually
they should look at these cases.
Somebody, your friends give you your nickname, and they were making fun of him, Barney.
Yeah. I think the gangs need to rethink what they're doing there.
They need to rethink what they're doing, period.
Yeah.
And what was the, basically then it was a lot of crime. I mean, drugs, right? Is that what they were up to?
Yeah, I mean, drugs for sure, but sometimes I just think it's gang pride on these things. They just love shooting at each other. And
well, how
it
about
seems
that,
like they miss each other and other people all the time.
Got shot
you know,
in the head the other day.
Oh, you see her too? Such a cute little girl, the 8-year-old.
Oh, just broke my heart. She was just standing with her mother.
Just going to the Walgreens.
Oh, my God.
Going to Walgreens.
That's terrible. Yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah, it does. It just breaks your heart that stuff like that is happening. And what's the solution? Just, I don't have it.
Yeah. I think we need some people that are behind us so we could do our jobs.
Absolutely.
Like
they used to be done. Yeah.
That'd be a good start.
Yeah. And they're not.
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. You look at the number of people leaving the job today, they're flying out of Chicago Police Department.
Sure.
And I think that's probably citywide. I mean, across the country.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. It's a tough job. And it's like, and I'm sure guys are going, well, for what?
Exactly. You
know, for what? Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to other places. You know, a lot of the guys.
Yeah, a lot of them are going to Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or going to some faraway suburb or something that's not, doesn't have the same issues, but yeah. But, you know, I enjoyed interviewing people. You were asking about what I do, and that's one of my things I really liked in investigations as a detective is talking to people. You know, the challenge of trying to get a statement, you know. And
not just the criminals themselves, but the people who, victims.
Well, sure. Sometimes you just need to interview people to find out what really happened, and you find out what's on paper isn't necessarily the way it really went down, you know?
Yeah.
We had one that I remember from years back. Some of this stuff just stays with you. There was a robbery pattern that myself and my partner at the time, Jay Haggerty, used to work this. Yeah. Archer and Halsted at the Orange Line stop.
Oh, yeah.
Was just getting picked on.
Oh.
And this young girl's pushing the baby stroller. And this fella's coming down the alley. And he... You know, it's the little things that help your case. And he looks down at the baby in the stroller, and he says, "Nice baby," and then promptly starts to wrestle her away from her purse on her shoulder. But what a woman does when that happens, it's a natural thing. They lock on.
Oh, yeah.
So now she's getting dragged down the alley to the awaiting getaway car, right?
Oh.
And she's all bruised up.
And the baby's in the stroller.
The baby's in the stroller.
Yeah.
So he gets the purse and gets away. But this pattern's now started, you know? So another one happens where the same fella matching the description.
The nice baby pattern? Yeah.
Now he comes up to somebody out there, and this time he's got a pistol.
Oh.
And he puts it to this woman's head, and he gets her purse away, and he's starting to run away, and there's a guy who worked in a Bridgeport garage over there, a mechanic.
Yeah.
And he can tell what had just happened, right?
Yeah.
He starts chasing the guy down the alley just out of pure instinct, and the gunman turns around, and now he sees, I don't even know if he knew that he had a pistol at the time.
Yeah.
You know? He shoots him twice. The poor guy, the mechanic, catches one in the stomach, one in the shoulder.
Oh.
Well, now it's it's really on. You know, we're looking for this guy. And
yeah.
Within hours of that case.
Did the guy live?
He did. He was really screwed up for a while, but he did need to go back to work.
Okay.
So the purse gets recovered in Pilsen, which is on the other side of the river north of Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And I noted the address, and I found that really odd because the way this fella looked, he didn't really fit in over there.
In Pilsen.
Correct.
Yeah.
It was, so the purse gets recovered, and now our new focus is the Pilsen area. What's the connection to Pilsen? So we start doing
something. Looking for this one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And he had a getaway driver, I do believe, we never got a look at him or her.
Yeah.
So with that was the tip we needed, you know, and we got a name.
In Pilsen?
Throw him in a photo array. Sure enough, everybody's picking him out.
Oh, circle sign the guy.
That's the guy that said, nice baby.
Yeah.
You know, on the man that got shot, there's a witness. He runs by her and says, hi. I mean, just like, really? Because that's great, because now they're locking in. How do you remember this guy? That's the guy that said hi to me. You
know?
So now we got a case. We bring him in. They all identify him in a physical lineup.
Yeah.
So we call Area 1 because 9 falls in there where my dad used to work at 51st and Wentworth. And they come out because they're getting remodeled at the time. So we're over at the old Board of Ed building at Pershing and Wood.
Yeah.
So we're over in there. And the detectives come out after interviewing him, just did a great job. He gave it up and he threw the gun in the river and this and that. And so we ended up charging him with the robbery of the girl that got dragged.
Yeah.
The armed robbery for the one where the fellow was shot, and then attempted murder for what he did to the poor mechanics.
Yeah.
So that worked out really great because that was a real whodunit. We didn't know what we had until that purse was found that day. Yeah. It was a great place to start.
How old was this guy?
Mid-20s.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a piece of crap.
Yeah. No, he was really getting desperate there, and we were really glad to catch him. But that's some of the times you just get lucky, you know, you just keep digging like that.
Now, weren't you also like a burglary detective?
Yeah, RBT, we call it, robbery, burglary, theft. You know, a lot of the stuff we were doing in TAC, I later went on to do as a detective. And, you know, again, I mentioned Burbank, great experiences that helped in Chicago. My 9th District experiences as a TAC officer really helped me later on.
Yes.
Because Jay and I were following up on stuff already
as
a detective. Yeah. Jay Haggerty, I kind of hit the ground running and really appreciated the break that I was given and kind of ran with it. And I've had some luck. A lot of times it is just that luck. You know, these guys aren't, I always say they're not good at what they do. They're just bold.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, I had something far closer to home. There was a armed robbery the night before Thanksgiving in 2020. So now what are we at? About 14 months ago.
Yeah.
It was a carjacking. You know, everybody's hearing about these.
Yeah, they're happening all over the place.
They're going, exactly. They're going everywhere doing it.
Right on Western Avenue. Mm. Yeah.
So this one was in the residential neighborhood, not on a commercial strip, 116th and St. Louis.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's St. Christina, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
They get this fella's car and his wallet. And
they pull him over?
He was sitting in his car waiting for his friends. It's the big bar night, right? This kid's 22 years old. He's waiting to go out with the guys to Bourbon
pals.
Street, I think, that night.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? And they're texting and calling each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes that much. The distraction happens, and then, you know, he's at the window with the pistol, you know.
Yeah.
Get out of the car.
Get out of the car.
What's the password to your phone, to your credit?
Oh, wow.
This kid's completely cooperative. He's standing on the
sidewalk. They ask for the password to your phone and your credit?
Because they like to wipe it clean so they can go sell it at the mom pot liquor store real quick and get 50 cents on the dollar for it or however they want to do it. Yeah. These phones go overseas, I found out. They get big money for them over there. Anyway,
so these guys are organized.
They do seem to be, you know.
Yeah.
They get through a couple of them, and they realize it can be lucrative. And
yeah.
So the car hits on a GPS. I was talking to the family, and Dad shows up from the far southwest suburbs. And they call Mom at home, and it turns out this car does have GPS.
Uh-huh.
So they get a hit on it. By 10 o'clock that night, I got a 6 o'clock robbery. By 9:30, I'm getting a phone call from OnStar or whatever.
Yeah.
The car's hitting in the 2nd District over at Martin Luther King in Pershing, which is 39.
Of course, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I go back the following Saturday with one of our video techs, and we start digging up video, and you see the guy pull in, and he's got the dome light on with all these.
Does he still have the same license plate and everything on
there? He's just dumping the car. So this is almost within hours of the robbery.
Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah.
I mean, but I can't tell, but I'm assume yes on that.
Because
we're looking at a perpendicular shot of the car.
Yeah.
So he's got the dome on. And you know, maybe watching one too many movies, you see him go over to the passenger seat and retrieve what looks like a rag. I'm watching this on video.
Yeah.
And he puts it to his mouth and starts wiping off the steering wheel, getting rid of his fingerprints, right? Sharp.
Yeah.
Does it again. Licks
yeah.
it. Huh. Okay, you might have gotten rid of your prints, but I got a real good shot at getting your DNA now. You
yeah.
know? So we start driving around, and we see a guy come out of a building. There's beautiful gray stones, brown stones down there, and this one fella comes out of this one dilapidated building, and I said, man, he could look kind of looks like the guy in the video, you know, and what my victim's describing in the robbery. So I start digging through arrest reports. Just prior to the carjacking, there's a guy that got picked up on that same corner for riding in a stolen car. And what building is he gets away from the police, runs away, but minutes later they catch him on body cam coming out of what building?
That building.
That yellow brick low rise that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
So now I got a name. It turns out that from me all the way to Area 1 had been looking at a guy who's sitting in the county now at this point of my carjacking for carjackings, and they had charged him yeah. successfully, so he's sitting on 3 or 4 already. Mm. And I said, well, what the hell, it's time to, because I don't like to confuse people, you know, and just randomly show photo arrays. But this yes. is good stuff. So I show my victim as well as a
you go and get the
neighbor.
Guy's mugshot.
Yep. Yeah. You create a photo array, 1 of 6 pictures on one sheet.
Yeah.
Guess what? The kid just, he absolutely nailed it. I mean, he couldn't circle sign and date it fast enough.
Yeah.
The woman in the that was a resident over, she picks him out. So now it's time to go get him. But unfortunately, state fought me on it. They didn't want to go with it because of the outstanding physical evidence that was on there. So
the state's attorney?
I mean, by that, I mean, you know, the ASA, right? The assistants.
Assistant
they
state's
wanted,
attorney.
They yeah. knew that this could possibly even go even farther. They wanted to wait
yeah,
to make
meantime,
it a lock.
He could plug somebody in the middle of a...
He was locked up, though. In
oh,
fairness, he was
okay.
locked up. But yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I was very frustrated.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to charge it. I thought we had enough. I really did.
Yeah.
So I got to go down to the jail. I swabbed the guy on a search warrant.
We
put the stuff in, and I get it. Thank God, our lab that is just flooded is apparently doling stuff out to the private sector. Well, we get a hit back within a couple of months.
Yeah.
Guess who it comes back
Same
to?
Guy.
The guy that's picked out into a photo, right?
Yeah.
So things worked out great. Then it was time to go give Miranda. He told me to go whistle, and, oh, you're officially charged with yet another carjacking.
Yeah.
He's sitting on about 9 of them right now. Very active.
Was he in jail when you went to see him?
He was.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Yeah. So he had gotten caught prior to my... almost immediately after my carjacking.
Yeah.
You figure mine's Thanksgiving. By Christmas, he was locked up.
Yeah, good.
So we knew where to find him.
Yeah.
But so that worked out really good, because that guy was just absolutely plaguing the South Side.
Do they go by... But nobody does it by themselves, the carjackers, right? There's always like a team of
I agree.
Them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He had a guy that was shotgun, if you will, that was at the passenger side.
Yeah.
But he was masked my guy... At the driver door, who I charged,
yeah,
he forgot to bring his mask that day. His face was completely exposed.
Yeah,
of course, that's the same guy that licks a rag to wipe off the fingerprints on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Thank God. Again,
oh, a lot of them they wear masks.
They do, yeah.
Oh wow,
yeah.
That's scary.
And I've gotten them charged, but it's rare. Sometimes there's voice recognition.
Oh wow,
something they said, maybe a tattoo.
Yeah,
maybe the way they walk because they know that person from. That's why they're wearing a mask, because the victim and offender maybe knew each other.
Yeah. Oh really?
Yeah, that's happened.
He would go and carjack somebody who he knew.
Or I'm just talking like an armed robbery. Like, I know the guy's holding a knot there because we sold him dope earlier.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Our
victims aren't necessarily always lined up as straight as we like them to be. You're still a victim of a crime, though.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, we go full tilt. But, yeah.
But the problem now is they're letting a lot of these guys walk.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
It's primarily... Kim, well, you don't want to get into it, but I know who it is. It's Kim Fox, and it's, you know, and it's nuts.
Yeah.
And it's happening all over the country.
It is.
The whole thing, and no bail, and everybody walks. And
I got a kick out of that. I don't know if you heard, was it the sheriff out there in DuPage County? Some of the young carjackers had gotten caught out there, and he had to explain to them, oh, wait a minute, no, Mama's not coming. You're not walking out the door on an I-bond.
Yeah.
You're in DuPage. Did you know you crossed
DuPage.
The border? And
your
jaws just kind of dropped, you know. He had said that in a press conference. I got a kick out of that.
Good for him. Yeah.
Maybe.
It's scary.
Yeah. 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 I mentioned my old partner to you earlier. You got me thinking.
Haggerty?
Yeah, he was busting my scones earlier today. I told him I was coming on the show, and he said, well, Jesus, did you ever tell Huli about the time that you tried to lock me up? I says, what are you talking about? He says, we were over by Archer and Halsted and working a felony crime. It was a robbery. And the guy started running. He says, Bill, we must have chased him for 3 blocks. And when we finally got him down on the ground, you got one cuff on one hand, and he's just flailing. You know, yeah. he don't want to go. Yeah. And I'm telling you, let go. And you cuffed me. So now I got a hairy-armed tech guy cuffed to the bad guy. And he's like, that's great. Now can we undo me and put the... And I said, did that really happen? He goes, yeah, you handcuffed me.
Oh, wow.
Because I thought you were going to lock me up.
That's brutal. So you would chase these guys for 3 blocks, tackle them, get them down. That's rough duty, man.
Huh. Yeah. Oh. Well, it helped. Back in the day, I was a long-distance runner. I think I'd be in big trouble today.
Oh, yeah.
You could actually talk on the radio and sound like you hadn't just done the marathon, you know.
That's great stuff, though. And was that a guy, was an individual? I mean, did he have any pals with him, or... How does that work? When you're busting up a group like that, and there's three or four of them, and you guys chasing one, what do the other guys do? They just
split up.
They just say, yeah. You're on your own.
They split up.
Yeah.
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 A lot of times they circle the area and, you know, wait for them, and then they cell phone. Okay, I'm in the bushes over by here.
Oh,
come get me.
Oh, yeah.
When the police are gone, you know. It pays to sit down the block with the lights off.
Oh, then wait for them. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Just wait till they come back. Yeah. These are frightening times.
They are.
And there's a lot of that carjacking. That's scary because what do you do? Give them what your advice is, give it up, right?
Yes, because I've had a handful of my complainants, my victims in cases, and especially a man. It's not in our nature to lay down.
Sure, of course not.
I grew up in Chicago, yeah. Where I can hang on to my lunch money, you know. And
yeah.
I've had these guys tell me that they start to box with these guys. Man, he had a pistol. He's like, well, yeah. You know, I'm like,
forget it.
No, give it to him. It's property.
Yeah.
It's property.
It's just property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your life.
Yeah. But I've had that happen where these guys, I don't know, bit of a Superman, says, you know what I mean? Just kind of.
And they wind up getting hurt.
I'm interviewing them, getting ready for the state's attorney. You know what I mean? That's the next step because I got a guy in custody.
Felony review.
Felony review. And they're telling you how they fought someone. It's happened a couple times and kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
Huh. That doesn't necessarily work out, you know. I mean, those guys are pretty desperate, you know.
They're crazy,
yeah.
And a lot of them are hopped up on drugs and everything else. Yeah, that's pretty scary. Yeah,
but it's a lot of the violent guys. You know, a lot of the stuff that I really enjoy through my years as a detective is kind of the art of the con. You know, mm-hmm. I've worked on a lot of gypsy stuff where people like to pick on seniors and con their way into a house on a Rue Century burglary or.
Uh-huh.
Or say, maybe I'm going to come fix your porch and put a new...
Or they say, I'm with ComEd or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've worked on that stuff all the way back from my Burbank days, and I have had some luck and have met some wonderful detectives across from Indiana to the North Shore of guys that work on similar cases, and we kind of network and stuff. I'm going to miss that.
Yeah.
I got a lot of cases in court.
And the con is they want to get in the house somehow and...
And distract them.
One guy goes upstairs and one guy goes, you know. That.
And of course, the seniors have no idea a second and third person came in. So what they'll do is you mentioned ComEd. One of them is the water department.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got to go downstairs because these freezing temps, these pipes are going to burst. We got to check them. And they go downstairs, they run that water. Now you can't hear the squeaking hardwood floors as offender two and three come in.
And they're upstairs.
And they go to the master bed, the top sock drawer where the jewelry and the cash might be or whatever, you know. And, we tell our parents and our grandparents, Mom, you know, nobody comes in.
But
these guys are silver tongue. They are fork tongue.
Yeah.
But they are very, very good at what they do.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so nice. He was an absolute gentleman. You know, he held my hand and kept calling me Mama. It's like, it makes you want to puke.
Yeah.
I just had one over here on Campbell the other day, too. They're hitting us hard.
I've got a call once. Now I'm a guy who I've had financial problems in the past, and ComEd called me, and I hadn't paid them or whatever, and they said, we got to have a money order today, or we're going to shut off your power or whatever, and I, like an idiot, I bought into it, and I started freaking out, and they said, call, I said, I got to, and they gave me a number to call back, And then they answer and they say, well, you know, we'll be out in front to get the money. And then I went, hey, wait a minute.
Right. But believe it or not, that works. I just had one about a month ago, only it was, grandma's in trouble. It's your grandson.
Oh.
And then they give up the name.
Yeah.
Oh, John. And now they got the name to work with. You know what I mean? It's a John, you know.
Yeah.
I had a DUI and it was a bit of a crash. I got a broken nose and, you know, I need to get bonded out. And then they put, would you like to talk to the officer?
And they then they do that. Yeah.
Officer O'Malley, may I help you?
Yeah.
And, well, your son just being a wonderful, I can tell he's really raised well. You know what I mean? They know how to feed in and bring it out of you. And in the rapport, they worked on this lady for hours.
Wow.
So it happens. We had one over here in Beverly on California that happened years ago. Put the sack of cash on the front porch and it does happen.
What? They told her to leave money out in the...
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they tried to... And when I finally realized it was bogus, I called them back.
Mm.
And they answered. And I went, hey, you... And I went into my tirade, and they just laughed and laughed. And I went...
They didn't want to meet you anymore?
No, they did not want to meet me.
Wow.
I said, you bastards. But I turned... I called the... They immediately said, no, this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. And they could be calling from outside the country and have some local mope that's going to pick up the cash.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just seniors just need to be extra cautious and call the police. Call
exactly.
The police.
Call the real police.
Three digits. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The art of the con, though. They're very good. When you do something like that every day, all day, it's easy to, it's easy to pull off, you know, because that's what they do all the time.
How do they find out who the elderly people are? I mean, my wife and I were in our 70s. We get phone calls day and night, and it's like, how do they know we're the old people?
So I have asked myself that question, and I've asked my and I'm going to say gypsies because they have a tattooed on their arm. They're very proud of the fact that they're gypsies. That's the group of people we're talking about.
Yeah.
You want to call them, Romanian travelers. There's a million different.
Yeah.
But and I asked a fellow one time, I says, he was in 22's custody. He had just done a 80-something-year-old guy and got caught in the act.
Wow.
What happened was a brand-new recruit was over by 103rd and Whipple heading to work.
Yeah.
He realized he forgot a key piece of equipment and made a U-turn. And when he did, he noticed that his move had disturbed a con that was, so it was a car running out front with a guy in it who apparently starts beeping the horn as the signal, and the rats just start flying out of his neighbor's house this whole time.
Oh.
So he knew, well, something's going on here because these young guys don't live in,
what are they doing
in my 82-year-old neighbor's house. So
he
jumps out and just grabs the first guy he can and gets him on the lawn and holds him, right?
Good for him.
So it turns out to be one of our very frequent flyers, a guy named Waterhead,
Waterhead,
which is a kind of a street name for PCP.
Oh.
So you can imagine with this guy. They're hard hitters, these guys with the narcotics. Big gamblers, too. So I get this guy Waterhead in there. His last name is Miller. And I'm talking to him. I says, let me ask you something. Forget about this case. You know, I like to be disarming, you know. Put all the stuff away that says police. And I'm a nice guy.
Waterhead,
let's talk.
Miller.
You want a sandwich? that bologna's green. I'll go get McDonald's, you know. The last thing I want to do is talk about. So how do you guys, I mean... Never, ever do I hear a call of a suspicious person at the door.
Yeah.
Where you go, ding dong, house 1, 2, 3. Oh, a senior. And you always
they
know
seem
where you're
to know
going.
Where they are.
And his answer was just that. He says, we just know.
Wow.
I said, well, is it the windmill on the front lawn? Is there a statue of Mary? Is there something that maybe a 20-something-year-old couple doesn't have on their front lawn that a senior might? He said something like that.
But he wouldn't give it up.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that said,
Waterhead Miller.
Waterhead. He promptly went back to prison on parole, right? Of course. So I'm driving to court one day, and I got a guy next to me that I recognize because I like to keep an eye on these houses and the trucks that they have in their driveways. So when the cases pop up, I'm like, oh, red Silverado, the Millers over here have got. So you know what I mean? I know where to start, or at least share it with that jurisdiction. I'll make a phone call. So I'm looking at this guy. He's driving a silver, like, 4Runner, and he's got the Jesus fish in the back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the sticker on the window, real men love Jesus. I'm like, wait a minute, I know these guys, an Oak Lawn family, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of get little and tell the guy a little bit. I'm already late for court, screw it. So I follow him. He ends up over at that new firehouse at 89th and Kedzie in Evergreen Park.
Yeah.
He pulls in by the ice rink. I tuck my car away and I come up on his blind side. He's on the phone. He's got this little 3x5 index card. You know, back in the days, if you didn't study enough in school, maybe
sure.
you had all
Cheaters,
your information
yeah.
on the card. He had packed a ton of information on this 3x5 card. So I startled him. I mounted on the window, and he opens the door, and he's like, Mrs. Johnson, can you hang on to me? He looks at me like, what do you
oh,
want?
Yeah.
I said, sir, I'm lost. How do you get on the Dan
Good
Ryan
for
from
you.
Here? I'm not sure how to. But I just that much information. He was cold calling. This
yeah.
guy had all this information because he had, well, I heard him say, I'm going to come see you later today. So I think what he does then is sell the information to con the second con guy.
Yeah.
And, okay, they're expecting you. Give me a little something off the top.
Sure.
You know? So I think they do their homework.
It's like leads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a lead for you.
One couple in Mount Greenwood had told me that they had just left the bank. You know, so I think they sit on the stores, they sit in the bank, follow them home.
Yeah.
Now I know they got money. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
to
answer your question, I think they do their homework.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe not hit them today, because if they did a ruse burglary, I'll ask them, have you had any work done at your house? Well, a couple months ago, we had some concrete work done.
Yeah.
Did they come in the house when you paid them? Yeah. Where were they standing exactly? Well, right here. Could they see you in your bedroom where you drew your little hidden stash of money?
Yeah
I think so. So, you know what I mean?
And
we start to figure out,
that,
these guys have been here before.
Let's go back and hit them. Yeah
right.
That's scary.
Nobody comes in. That's the rule.
Nobody.
Lock that screen door. Nobody comes in.
Good for you. You know, I got in a beef with my landlord because they claimed there was bed bugs in the building.
Hmm.
And they sent out these flyers. You must leave the apartment while the dog, they're bringing dogs in. And we are not responsible for any valuables. I said, no one's coming in my apartment, especially a dog.
Yeah.
And I don't have bed. And it just, and my landlord got all upset with me. And I said, hey, you know what? Drop dead.
But that was some kind of BS?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
But how would I know?
Yeah.
How would I?
It
I don't
sounds
like anybody
crazy.
Telling me what to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, that ain't going to happen. And telling me that I have to leave the apartment while they go around with a dog and, you know. But anyway, I won't mention
Wait, we don't
my
wanna
landlord's
get on
name.
We want to get on the dark side of Hooli here.
No, you don't, because a lot of people have seen it and it's frightening. All right, give us one final story, Billy.
One final story. Wow. How much time do I
These
have?
These are great, I got to tell you. We got a few minutes.
Few minutes.
Yeah.
Well, there was a guy, I was watching the Channel 9 news the other day. Sometimes it's, to me, the one this doesn't make you as angry, right?
Yes.
But they're entertaining on there. And there was a guy that was on there that I recognized the name right away, by the name of Art Williams.
Yeah.
And they were covering his story and how he's gone from... I won't say necessarily rags to riches, but he's kind of turned himself around. And I'm like, Art Williams, man, I know that name. And they're talking about what he paints is money. He's an artist who paints money and has a...
He's a counterfeiter.
He has a... thank you.
Yeah.
So Haggerty and I, going back to Haggerty again, I tell you, sometimes you just try and you just get lucky. So it's broad daylight. We're in plain clothes working tack. And the uniform guys have a domestic call. There's a 16-year-old kid. He had been slapped around by his dad. And he did have physical signs of
was abuse.
a little cut. I mean, it's just like a slap.
A wake-up call.
Just north of the parking lot over by Sox Park. So we're like 33rd and Shields.
Yeah.
Maybe 32nd. And we get there, and now we've separated dad and son because they're both pretty hot. And the beat car needed help because he's got to deal with the two of these. He literally, the kid waved down the marked car and says, my dad beat me out when I'm arrested.
Oh, yeah.
So we cuff everybody. We'll figure it out. Handcuffs come off.
Yeah.
So the kid's got cuffs on. Dad's got cuffs because they're both acting up. And the kid starts pounding on the glass. And the beat car says, you need to get over here. I open up the back seat of the squad car where the juvenile is. And he's reaching in because he's so young. And he's grabbing cash, even though he's cuffed, and he's throwing it around the squad car. This is funny money. This is bogus funny money.
That he had on
yes.
him? Yes. Yeah.
My dad made this. My dad's a counterfeiter.
Oh.
He's famous. He's done all this.
Oh.
You guys want him, I'm telling you. And I'm like, now this isn't something I've really dealt with before, you know?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the Secret Service handles
counterfeit.
We hand that stuff off. If Walgreens called today and said we got a phony bill, we knock out our case report, we call the Secret Service.
And they.
So I go over to the other squad car with the father. And
the counterfeiter.
The counterfeiter. Yeah. And I says, you know, your son's making some crazy allegations here. He goes, man, he sassed my girlfriend. I clipped him. He was acting up. It was this and that.
Yeah.
Right, it's a little more serious than that. He says that you're got some stuff up in your apartment the police might be interested in.
Whoa.
And BS. He says, I got nothing in there. I'm like, yeah.
Then let us take it.
Sign a consent to search.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and he was real cocky. I take the cuffs off him. He signs it, his name. You know, it was 3-1 in Shields at the time above the fish house that used to be there.
31st and Shields, yeah.
Yeah. So we got to act quick, right? Because the kid says, you know, my dad's girlfriend was still there. You better get down there quick. So we're stalling these guys. They're in a squad car, you know, and Jay and I go down there, and we're going up the stairs, and there's money laying on the stairs.
Oh, my God.
We go to the second floor apartment. There's printers. There's plates. Everything. Little scalpel knife. There's inks, high-end printers.
Yeah.
And a couple of bills that she dropped on her way out. So I start doing a canvas, knocking door to door. They said, yeah, we saw this blonde running out of here after the kid ran out after the fight. She had two black satchels on her.
Oh, she was taking it with her.
She took the money. So we call Secret Service from there because it looked like I had a money-making operation in the apartment. They said, we'll be there in 30 minutes. So about 5 or 6 good-looking young guys, half my age, they show up. They're wearing golf shirts and tan slacks. They look like they're a golf outing. You know what I mean? These guys look like they're ready to tee off, and they're whispering to each other and walking around. And I don't know, my stomach's rumbling. It's getting late. You know, I'm stalling the B card, just like, geez, it was a domestic, Donnelly. What are you doing now?
Yeah.
Finally, the chief agent, you know, the guy running the show walks up to me. He says, what are you going to do? I says, what do you mean, man? We don't handle this stuff. It's yours.
Yeah.
I go, I got to do an inventory for this stuff. We're going to make it a domestic battery pinch here, the kid alleges, and that looks bona fide. And it's yours. He goes, do you know who this guy is?
Oh.
Yeah, he says his name's Art Williams.
Art Williams!
He says, that's a guy we've been looking for all over the country.
Oh, wow.
He's been a counterfeiter since he was a kid, and he got out, and he teaches our agents how he does what he does, and then he does an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, thumbing his nose at us like a good dope dealer would do.
Yeah.
I'm working for you, but I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I'm dealing on the side, you know what I mean? And I says, wow, okay, sounds like a decent pinch. He says, well, what do you want? I says, can you put us on your paper? You know, maybe throw a letter to our boss or something, right? I mean, recognition.
Yeah.
Which they did.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah, well, the indictment came down, and these guys really rolled with it. They ended up going to another location, recovering some sort of printing press.
Oh.
He went away for a number of years, and he was telling us in the car, he says, well, you guys really screwed me up here. Well, what's going on? He says, well, Hollywood's on the way.
Come on, man.
Exactly. Yeah. I said that. Well, guess what? I got the book. I read it. It was actually a good read. The Art of Making Money.
Yes.
We ended up getting a phone call from Bill Curtis Productions,
American Greed. Oh, American Greed, a great show.
Yeah, well, I was nervous, and I told Beth, I says, man, I don't trust the press. I don't want to be interviewed. They
Smart
want to interview
move.
Jay and I.
Yeah.
So my sons and Beth, they're like, you should do this. This
is
like, I'm like, all right. So I call it was a lieutenant at the time down at News Affairs, and I couldn't even reach him. I think they thought better of it.
Yeah.
And they didn't want us to
don't
do it
touch
either.
It. Yeah.
So we never did get on there. But so they ran the story, but just without our input.
Yeah, that's a hell of a story. We got to wrap this up.
Sure.
Thank you, Bill. We're going to miss you, but you got to come back and tell us some more stories.
Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure to see you, pal.
Let's get our nurse friends in here.
Yes. God bless you, and God bless your family. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends on Hibernian Radio.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey everybody, this is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Hey, thanks to Bill Donnelly. That was some great stuff. Great storyteller as well. Remind everybody, Monday, February 7th, the Emerald Society of Illinois, they're having their meeting, Northside Traveling Meeting, at 7 p.m. at the Edison Park Inn. Beverage specials, hors d'oeuvres provided. Our friend Daniel Kearns will be in attendance. Check it out, www.emeraldsocietyofillinois.org. Monday night, February 7th at 7 p.m. at the Edison Park Inn. All members are invited. Also, the Father Perez Knights of Columbus are announcing their annual St. Baldrick's fundraiser, where they shave the head and raise money for kids with cancer and everything. Last year, the Father Perez team raised over $18,000 and placed first in the event. It's over at Bourbon Street. This year, it's going to be March 12th and will be entirely virtual. Check it out. Go to www.stbaldricks.org team Father Perez 1444. All good guys, all great organizations. And now, Billy, in the room walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's wrong, his heart's saying those great Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. And he says to me, "Hey, Hooley, who died?" Our old pal Jeff Lang, his dad, Irv Lang, Irvin J. Lang, 86. Died earlier this week. Irv's a terrific guy and lived upstairs from Jeff and Kathy. Irv and his lovely wife, Alice. Big listeners to this show, by the way. Irv was the adored father of Jeffrey and Kathleen, both retired law enforcement officers. The late baby Joseph, the late baby Edward, loving brother of Grace and Helen. He was preceded in death by three brothers and two sisters. He was a caring grampies to fur grand babies, Bailey and Katie. Bailey listens to the show every week, by the way. Fond uncle of many nieces and nephews, cherished friend and neighbor. He was the proudest godfather of Jennifer. God rest his lovely soul, Irv Lang. And he was being waked Saturday from 9 to 12. Where? At Sheehy's. Where other eight people go. So I'll probably see you there. I want to try and get over there Saturday morning for Irv Lang's wake. Also, Tom Carley, 65, climbed the stairway to heaven on the 17th of January. He was welcomed with hugs from his mother and father, Helen and Thomas Carley, and many aunts and uncles. Tom survived by his best friend, the love of his life for 32 years, Carol, and his four-legged pooch and his son, Thomas Carley. Tom's memory, raise a glass, dance like no one's watching, love as though you'd never been hurt, sing as no one can hear you, and live as though heaven is on earth. May God hold you in the palm of his hand. I'll let we meet again somewhere over the rainbow. My love. God rest his soul, Tom Carley. Joan Slattery Cannon, age 83, born on the south side. To her father, Bernard, a Chicago police officer, and her mom, Cecilia O'Hara. She went to Longwood, Our Lady Academy of Our Lady. She was a beloved mother of four children, Patrick, Colleen, Nancy, and Brian, a 30-year resident in Lake Forest. God rest her lovely soul, Joan Slattery Karen. Dan Ryan, loving husband of 65 years, to Anna Patsy. Danny was the son of Mary Nee Joyce of County Galway and Michael Ryan from Hospital, County Limerick. Brother of the late Mary, the late Mike, the late Patrick, the late Jamesy, the late Jerry, Kathleen, Margie, Patricia, Sheila, and the late Johnny. He had 8 kids. I can't name them all, but God rest his lovely soul. Dan Ryan, Danny Ryan. Marjorie O'Connor, 94, devoted wife of the late Raymond, Chicago Police Department, loving mother of Donna, the late Irene, the late Patricia, Patrick O'Connor. Marjorie was a perfect example of a life well lived. God rest her soul, Marjorie O'Connor. Patrick O'Carroll passed away peacefully. He was 90. Patrick was born on 1932 in Dublin and raised in Sligo. He leaves behind his cherished companion, Sandra Downs, as well as his four children, Miles, Sheila, Deirdre, and Owen. He was a carpenter with Local 13, was awarded a 60-year pin. He continued to enjoy woodworking throughout his retirement, making sentimental pieces for his family. God rest his soul, Patrick O'Carroll. Helen Callahan, age 80, longtime resident of Oak Park. Helen was a 39-year elementary school teacher in North Riverside. She taught over 1,600 children, many with whom she still kept in contact with. She was an adjunct clinical supervisor and seminar instructor for 12 and a half years at Dominican University, her alma mater. God rest her soul, Helen M. Callahan. George Vallick, 82. God rest his soul, George Vallick. John Doyle. Or as PJOD says, John Doyle. John Doyle, beloved son of the late John Doyle Sr. and Vera Doyle, loving husband to the late Diane, cherished father to John Patrick Doyle III. John was a longtime member of the Shannon Rovers Irish Pipe Beg Band and a retired sergeant for the Chicago Police Department. He was also a United States Marine Corps. God rest his soul, John Doyle Jr. And finally, Maurice Nelligan, of Chicago, 83, of County Limerick. He's from a town called Turinagreena, Bala, County Limerick, Ireland. Beloved husband of the late Bridie, father Peter, Dan, Steve, Mike, Kevin, and John. Morris came to America and built a beautiful life and successful landscaping business. He was had a strong faith in God. He was a dedicated pioneer, the Total Abstinence Association of the Sacred Heart, and he took his oath at confirmation. Can you imagine that? When you're confirmed, you said, I'm never going to have a drink in my life, and he never did. God rest his soul, Maurice Nelligan. And I want to thank my old pal, PJOD, for being our obit scout. And the interesting thing, PJ, when he's given me these obits, he always tells me in lieu of flowers, you know, is Misericordia or St. Jude, and he goes, one, it was one of the good ones. All right, we'll take another break. I'll be right back on Hibernian Radio, so stick around. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.IE.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hi, it's your old friend Mike Houlihan. Hey, let's get out of here with a joke. There was a man who had three girlfriends, but he did not know which one to marry, so he decided to give each one $5,000, see how each of them spent it. The first one went out, got a total makeover with the money. She got new clothes, new hairdo, pedicure, the works, and tells the man, I spent the money so I could look pretty for you because I love you so much. Second one went out and bought new golf clubs, a CD player, television, stereo, and gave them to the man. She said, I bought these gifts for you with the money because I love you so much. The third one takes the $5,000 and invests it in the stock market, doubles her investment, returns the $5,000 to the man, and reinvests the rest. She says, I'm investing the rest of the money for our future because I love you so much. The man thought long and hard about how each of the women spent the money. Finally, being the guy he was, he decided to marry the one with the biggest boobs. Okay, we'll see you next week, everybody. Stay warm. God bless you all, and we'll see you later. Bye.